Charities fight for survival as funds dry up in the pandemic.
They are really expecting major cuts.
And Wall Street is a little bit calmer in the past few weeks. We'll explain why the big trading swings have settled down. And Elon Musk says Tesla is restarting California production, defying a local order. It is Tuesday, May 12th. I'm Mark Garrison with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. Latest numbers on U.S. inflation are out today. Forecasters expect them to show the consumer price index dropped 0.8% in April, which would be the biggest one-month decline since 2008. Rock-bottom oil prices are a big part of that. The Justice Department is considering federal hate crime charges in the shooting death of Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia. President Trump spoke about the widely shared video in which Arbery is seen falling to the ground after being confronted by two armed white men.
It breaks your heart to watch it. It breaks your heart. And certainly the video was a terrible looking video to me. But you have a lot of people looking at it, and hopefully an answer is going to be arrived at very quickly. But it's something that is heartbreaking.
Father and son Gregory and Travis McMichael are charged with murder and aggravated assault. A police report says they told authorities they thought Arbery looked like a burglar. His family's attorneys say he was out jogging. The Supreme Court will consider President Trump's tax returns today. The president wants justices to quash subpoenas seeking financial documents. He broke with the tradition of presidents releasing their tax returns and has fought to keep them private since. House ethics investigators and a New York State prosecutor are both seeking accounting records. Right after this, why is Wall Street trading calming down when the pandemic still rages? Saudi Aramco net profit is down 25% as the pandemic and oil price war with Russia hurt earnings. The state oil giant's quarterly report also says the company will sharply cut capital spending. Wall Street volatility is down after a stretch of turbulence that saw 10% moves on some days. Markets editor Quentin Webb explains what's going on.
So volatility, as measured by the VIX index, often called Wall Street's fear gauge, has receded a lot from where it was in March. It's roughly a third of the peak that it hit. And, you know, in a way, that's not too surprising, because a couple of months ago, people were desperately trying to work out how this big, unexpected crisis of the coronavirus would affect markets. There was no consensus on how things should be priced. Since then, of course, you know, things have settled down and there's a bit more of a consensus about how the world looks. And the Federal Reserve has stepped in and kind of stop some of the worst dislocations in the market from continuing. And now we're at this kind of more normal level of volatility. That has a kind of virtuous circle effect in a way, because it also, in some instances, will inspire new buying of stocks, because there are funds, for example, called volatility targeting funds, which use the measures of the VIX and other volatility indexes as inputs to help them gauge whether to buy more stocks.
Elon Musk says Tesla will restart production at its California factory, defying the local government order to close to limit the coronavirus spread. Musk took to Twitter to say he will be there and volunteered to be arrested. The Alameda County Health Department says the factory can only do minimal operations until its plan to reopen is submitted and approved. Over the weekend, Musk filed a lawsuit asking a judge to reopen the factory. After a tiny break, how nonprofits are trying to continue their work during the pandemic. Charities face financial challenges even in good times, but some now worry about survival as the pandemic has forced them to cancel fundraisers and hurt their benefactors in the public and private sector. Our Charlie Turner spoke with the Journal's Betsy Morris about the difficult situation nonprofits face.
Talk about the kinds of pressures that nonprofits face, nonprofits that get at least part of their funding from the government.
Many have fiscal years that end at the end of next month, June 30th, and they are really worried about cuts. I mean, nonprofits in New York, anywhere across the country, governments are really strapped, you know, because of COVID and lack of sales tax and, you know, all sorts of other kinds of revenue. And so they are really expecting major cuts. The contracts are usually very restrictive in terms of what they can do, how they can spend their money. One nonprofit I talked to said he's not allowed to use the money from a government contract in any way that would raise money to help sustain the nonprofit. That's a problem. I mean, they don't have reserves. Many of these are on razor thin margins. I think half who were surveyed a couple of years ago said that they had only 3 months of reserve left, cash on hand, that could to sustain them for only 3 months. Almost 20% said they only had enough cash on hand to sustain them for one more month. So, these nonprofits are really, they're under a ton of scrutiny to manage well.
You profiled in your story a nonprofit called Gilgal, a small residential recovery program. Tell us about them.
Gilgal is really representative of most nonprofits, more than 90% of the nonprofits in the U.S. It is small. It is based in Atlanta, Georgia. It is very focused on a specific community need, which is to help women who have been homeless and addicted to drugs, to help many of those get back on their feet, get jobs, learn about life skills that they missed, during their time on the streets, everything from budgeting to how to buy groceries to how to do a job interview. It's a year long. This is its 15th year. In those 15 years, it's helped about 600 women. The problem that Gilgal is facing is that most of its funding comes from donors. It has very little in terms of government contracts. But this spring, it's had to already cancel two of its fundraising events, and it looks like it's not going to be able to hold its gala in the fall, the Blue Jean Gala, it calls it. Together, those three fundraisers would have raised up to half of their operating budget, which is $600,000.
That was the Journal's Betsy Morris talking with our Charlie Turner. Finally, as some parts of the country have begun to reopen, we want to hear from you. Tell us what reopening has been like where you live. And if you have questions about it, let us know. Leave us a voicemail at 315-992-8298. And that is What's News for this morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. We are back with another updated episode this evening. And there's always more on WSJ.com and our app. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.